the church. I want to direct your attention now to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. After the message, we will have a couple more songs to sing. With it being Christmas Eve, it's easy to adjust things around and okay to do so, I feel. And tonight's message is more of a devotional thought and not so much an expository message and not so much diving into one text and bringing out all the great significances of it, but more of a devotional thought. Matthew chapter 1, I'd like to read verses 18 through 25. Here we have another testimony of the birth of Christ given to us through the disciple Matthew. The Bible says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." I think a chief disservice we do to ourselves when we read the scriptures, when we read accounts like this, is that we fail to fully comprehend the humanness of those who were vessels that God used to accomplish his will. Too often we rush through reading an account like this one, not really meditating on how much Mary and Joseph were confronted with. In Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 25, we read of the angel Gabriel delivering God's message to Mary that God has chosen her, of all women, to bring the Messiah into the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in this passage that she was troubled at such a thing. And she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. So in other words, there was confusion and fear springing forth from the heart of Mary. We know that Mary was confused because she asked the question, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And we know that there was fear in the heart of Mary because the angel tells her immediately not to fear. But her confusion and fear is overcome by her faith. And we know this because she says in Luke chapter 1, verse 38, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." In the account before us, we have the same two elements found in Joseph: confusion and fear. And Joseph was planning to separate from Mary because he thought she had been unfaithful to him. Joseph was a just man, that is, he was a man of character, a man of integrity. He did not want to make this an ugly scene. But nevertheless, we see here in this account, he could not proceed in marriage with a woman who was pregnant, and from his point of view, pregnant with another man's baby, and perhaps lying about it. There's no doubt Fear was in the heart of Joseph. Fear about what others were going to think and say. Fear about telling family members that this relationship didn't go as hoped. And Joseph, proceeding with the separation, has an experience like Mary. And the angel of the Lord appears unto Joseph and declares what God is about to do. God declares through this angel the will of the Lord. And Joseph's confusion and fear, like Mary's, is overcome by faith. And Joseph submits himself to the word of God, to this messenger, this angel, and he does what God wills. And the more we understand this passage, the more we will come to appreciate it. Because often in our life, we are like Mary and Joseph. We are confronted with confusion and fear. Now, we will never encounter such a great miracle as the birth of Jesus Christ, which would produce confusion and fear, as we see here in Mary and Martha's life. But we are a people who at times face tragedies, loss, abandonment, life-threatening diseases, persecutions, and other circumstances which produces unwarranted confusion and fear. And in such times, when such circumstances come to our hearts, our questions are often, why is God allowing this? How am I going to deal with this? And what will the future hold? On the eve of Christmas, I want us to remember that God is with us during our times of confusion and fear. His name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. In Luke chapter 1 and Matthew chapter 1, God did not ignore Mary and Joseph's proneness to confusion and fear. Rather, God intervened to encourage their heart in the moment of confusion and fear. And God comes to their aid in their times of discouragement. And the scriptures declare that God comes to our aid, we who are His children, in our times of confusion and fear. The Bible proclaims in Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In Psalm 62:7 and 8, in God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Regarding confusion and fear that often creeps into our own lives, let me say two things this evening. Number one, we are not expected to understand everything that God does in our life. We are only expected to trust Him. Mary and Joseph did not understand everything. And I would say they could not understand everything. For the Bible tells us that the mind of God, the thoughts of God, are far higher than our thoughts. The ways of God are far higher than our ways. And here we have nothing more than a great miracle that is going to take place in the lives of Mary and Joseph, and they did not understand what God was going to do. But nevertheless, they trusted in the Lord. And so it is with us. And we will never fully understand why God allows various circumstances to take place in our life. We will never fully know why God does what He does. But what we do know, what we do understand, we are called to submit ourselves to faith. That is, trusting in the nature of God. And that's what faith is. Faith is nothing more than casting yourself on the character of God, trusting in God's sovereignty, trusting in God's faithfulness, and trusting in God's love. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. How are we to deal with confusion that comes into our life? We are to exercise faith in the One who is above all. We are to exercise faith in the One who is eternally good. Regarding fear, the solution is the same. And our second point tonight is this. When we come face to face with fear, we are not to crumble under it, but exercise faith in the midst of it. And Mary and Joseph initially responded in fear when they were assured that God was with them and that all was arranged by His sovereign hand. They trusted and submitted themselves to His will. And thus we understand that exercising faith in God does not mean we will never be confronted with fear. We must get that out of our thinking. Sometimes we think that we must muster up faith so much so that we will never come across a fearful moment, and such a thought is foolish. Exercising faith in the context of fear is believing God in the midst of fear. In Mark chapter 9, we have the account of a father who comes to Christ asking Christ to have mercy on his son, who has a dumb spirit, and his spirit is causing the son to be hurt physically and being cast into the fire and cast into the waters. And Jesus questions the father, "Do you believe? If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And the father cries with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." So there was fear. So God doesn't expect us to be fearless because circumstances in life produce fear. But we see in His cry a desire to rise above that initial fear and to exercise faith. And this is our spirit often. We are able to relate to this Father because we find ourselves in the condition that He was in, surrounded by fear, wanting to be victorious in faith, but knowing our own hearts and our own proneness to wander, we cry out, "Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief." Then we have the illustration of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, Mark chapter 5, coming to Jesus, asking Jesus to come heal his daughter who is at the point of death. And others come to Jairus and say, "Leave Jesus alone. It's not worth seeking after him. The physicians have done all that they have done. Your daughter is going to die, so deal with it." And Jesus' response to Jairus, in the midst of all this madness, is, "Be not afraid, only believe." Why would Christ tell Jairus that? Well, I'm guessing because he's a human, a man of like passions, and he was a bit fearful about what was going to happen to his precious daughter. Do you think the Hebrew midwives faced fear when they didn't obey the Pharaoh? Do you think David maybe had a little bit of fear when he saw the giant, big and strong? Do you think the three Hebrew young men perhaps had some fear when Nebuchadnezzar turned up the furnace 7 times hotter? They refused to bow to the king. We cannot help the fact that we will be confronted with fear, but we can choose to allow fear to be pushed aside and faith exercised. You ask, what does this have to do with Christmas? Well, often overlooked, these two elements, confusion and fear, are revealed in the Christmas account. And they are elements that we find ourselves confronted with on a continual basis. I don't know about you, but I don't think that there is a week that goes by in my life where there is not some sort of confusion or some sort of fear. And while Christmas for most is a time of great joy and blessing, for some, Christmas can be a time of great confusion and fear. As Christmas gives way to New Year's, the New Year brings with it many blessings and new opportunities. New Year's can also bring confusion and fear. How is my health going to hold up in the year to come? What is going to happen to my family member? How will God provide for me in the future? Wherever we find ourselves this evening, let us remember the humanness of Mary and Joseph. I'm guessing that if we had the opportunity to interview Mary and Joseph, they would tell you their own faults, their own failures, their own inadequacies. They would tell you that they were not seeking to be something great for the Lord. The Lord in His sovereignty chose to use them of all people for some reason. And when the initial news came, there were a lot of questions. There was a lot of fear. But God coming to them in the form of an angel assured that all would be okay. And that assurance that God gave then helped them to trust in the purposes of God. Let's remember this Christmas season that Christ's presence dispels our fears. And Christ's word can clear up all confusions. What is our source of strength? Where do we go for wisdom regarding those fears and regarding those things that cause confusion? Well, our source of strength, our source of wisdom, our source of hope, and our source of joy through it all is the Word of God. Because in the Word of God, we see Christ. Christ is the Word. He is the incarnate Word, but we have here in our hands the wonderful Word of God which reveals Christ to us. And the more we know our Bibles, the more we will know of Christ. And the more we know of Christ and His promises, the more we will be able to live victorious over any confusion and over any fear that may come into our life. While Christmas time is often a time of smiles and laughter, is often a time of exchanging of gifts, sometimes behind all the smiles, behind all the laughter, behind all the exchanging of physical gifts, in the hearts and souls of some, there's a great sorrow. There's a great void. There's a great emptiness. And an emptiness of God. If that's you tonight, and you do not yet know the Lord, you do not know the peace of God which passes all understanding, you've heard something of this Jesus who was sent to earth to die for sinners, but you don't know for sure that you are His child. Oh, the Bible gives the assurance that you can know for sure that your sins can be forgiven, that you can be transformed from an enemy of God to the friend of God. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. Has He saved you? Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? If not, again, the invitation is given. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Christ is the greatest gift given to mankind. And in the Scriptures, this gift is given to us, paid for. This gift is given to us free of any works that we can do. We can't do anything to obtain salvation. God offers it to us as a gift. Will you receive it? And if you've received it, rejoice in it, though there still may be confusion and fear. Let's pray, and then I'm going to ask Brother Short to come up, and we will sing hymn number 434. Lord, again, we bow our hearts and we confess that often we are arrested with confusion and fear. Oh, Lord, we are imperfect people. You know our thoughts. You know all that we are. We cannot hide from You. And though others may be strangers to our confusion and fear, Lord, You know. Father, I pray that we would submit ourselves to You tonight, that we would submit our fears to You tonight, and that we would trust that You have a reason why You allow everything to happen. And Father, that we would see from Scripture that You are able to take that which is ugly and to work it out for good. This is the promise that we have in Romans 8. That all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Father, thank You for this spiritual pillow that we can rest our weary hearts on. The fact that You are God, that You are in control of all, and that You care, and that You love, and that You invite us to come near to You. Because coming in Your nearness, O Father, we know Your blessing and we know Your comfort. I pray that You would strengthen the hearts of all Your people here tonight. I pray that You would save those who may not yet know Christ. And I pray, Father, that Your name would be glorified because of it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing hymn number 434, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Hymn number 434.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shine the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in Thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep and angels keep their watch of one. Blessing.
For our last song, let's turn to hymn number 244. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Wednesday, 7 o'clock, our normal midweek service time. Please come back and join us for that. We will have a brief Bible study and also want to incorporate with that a true prayer meeting as we enter into the new year and also the services next Sunday, our God First Emphasis Service. And so please plan to be here for that. And we have these door hangers available, and this is the information regarding our upcoming conference. And so you can take these home and hang them on your ears so others can see hang them on doors. Just want to make sure you're paying attention. Hang them on the doors of your neighbors and let others know that they are invited to come to our services, and we're desiring to invite the community and desiring that they too would come to know Jesus Christ. And that is our desire here as a church, that we would be a light and a testimony to this community. So I wish you this year a very blessed and merry Christmas. Hope you have a great time with family and friends over the next couple of days. May the Lord bless you, keep you, make His face to shine upon you, be merciful to you, and give you peace. God bless you. You are dismissed.